Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Showcast, a series of candid conversations from film festivals and film markets everywhere, brought to you by The Film Verdict and hosted by yours truly, Matt Micucci. Today, we're diving into the vibrant world of the Berlinale, spotlighting another gem from its Panorama Documente section. Our focus turns to a remarkable documentary on the one and only trailblazer, Peaches. Known for her daring blend of electronic music, pop and hip-hop, and her fearless exploration of sexuality and societal norms that have captivated audiences worldwide. Teachers of Peaches not only chronicles a recent anniversary tour celebrating her seminal album of the same name that was originally released in 2000, but also weaves together recent footage with unseen archive material for a truly immersive experience, fit for those ranging from diehard Peaches aficionados to anyone who has not yet been introduced to her. Joining me in discussing the movie are its directors, Philip Fussenegger and Judy Landkammer. And I'm delighted to share this conversation with you as the latest episode of our podcast series. So fire up an Audiotini and listen to the audio waves as they fly through the air. This is The Showcast. Philip, Judy, welcome to The Showcast.
Hello.
Pleasure to talk with you guys. It's a huge pleasure. First and foremost, though, you've just recently presented Teachers of Peaches in the Panorama Documente section of the Berlinale. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the Berlin Festival or the screening of your of your documentary, naturally. So before we get to talking about this film, I would like to simply ask you, what was the experience like? How did it go? And how did the audience respond to your work?
Yeah, it's a great honor to be on the Berlinale. First of all, I'm super thrilled that we even got this much of attention and so much respect, and even a Teddy Award at the end. Great.
Same for me. Yeah, it was a huge honor and to share this experience also with most of the team and with Peaches, and plenty of people were there. I think that, I mean, the premiere was wonderful, I have to say, better than I imagined, even though we were all very nervous. I definitely was. Yeah, but the responses were pretty good. Yeah.
Well, it's great to hear. So in talking about this film of yours, I'd like to take it from the top because, you know, you guys know who Peaches is. I know who Peaches is. But let's just say that you were speaking with someone who didn't know who Peaches is. You know, how would you introduce her to them? And how would you encapsulate in words what she's all about?
Well, for me, Peaches is like an artistic powerhouse, a queer icon, and somebody who loves to not follow the rules. And I admire that a lot.
Absolutely. I always ask them if they know a famous song of Peaches, Fuck the Pain Away. And I'm surprised a lot of people don't know. And I strongly recommend to have a look at a documentary because this movie is about that period of time and the anniversary tour, as the time when the album came out, and the anniversary tour, and how she became a queer icon. Her message is, I think, now more important than ever. And she was far beyond her time 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. From a personal standpoint, when was it that you first became aware of her? And what was your reaction or response to her music and just her general image and aura?
When I was in my teens and I had my first sexual experience, sex with a man, Peaches was playing in the background, the whole album Up and Down. And I was like, what the fuck is going on with this person? And I was like, that was my first contact with her. And I was super surprised that so many years later, I got to know her in person. My memory I had from that.
Yeah, for me, it was I kind of got in touch with her music a couple of years later before she or Meryl became a Peaches, beginning of 2000s. I heard Fuck the Pain Away for the first time in 2009 when I just recently moved to Berlin and a friend showed it to me. And I was this, you know, young baby queer and had a lot of feelings going on inside me, and this song specifically, Fuck the Pain Away, spoke to me not so much because of the lyrics, but more like the feeling and the pain that it's dealing with. And it resonated with me. And I think that A lot of people kind of think that Peaches is like this crazy extreme stage persona. And it was surprising to me in a way. Obviously, everybody has two sides, right? Every artist is not exactly what they represent on stage. But I was surprised how calm Peaches is actually off stage. So yeah, there was that.
Yeah, exactly. And you introduced that. So, I mean, I would love to know how, when it was that you guys first met Peaches and how this idea of making a documentary about her came about.
Well, we were, me and Judy and some other team members like Susie and Dino, we were working on another documentary about the Kit Kat Club and with Cordula into a production company. And she approached me, I don't know when it was, 2 years ago. She's looking for a director for the Peaches movie. And I said, yeah, okay, I can give it a try. That was basically one day before we start shooting and going on a tour. So I was thrown into the cold water. And yeah, the rest is history.
So what was she like when you first met her? Like, it sounds like she was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I met her, I think we talked about my dad died recently and her dad also passed away in a similar time. And I think this was our first conversation we had about our memories, and this connected us. And from that on, I tried to establish some trust with her, and I tried to only promise her things that I could kept in an artistic way. Also for her, for example, it's also very important that she has a kind of diverse team and good communication about the movie and how things progressed. And she's also an artist. And I would say she's very controlled and also a little bit of a micromanagement person and wants to be involved in a lot of decisions and stuff, even though maybe she's not in the end disagreeing or wants to change it, but she wants to know what's going on. And I said, yeah, that's no problem for me. I'm not losing anything by it. And I respect her as an artist, and I respect her opinion, and I'm very interested in also her opinion. And that was, so I kept the conversation through the whole process, and it helped the movie to grow, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think that also the way we usually work, like Philip and me have been working together for over a decade, and the way we work is kind of more collective kind of working, I would say. So, if, for example, in the editing room, we also spend a lot of time, the three of us together with our dramaturg, Susie. And so we would build the narrative and the structure together. And I think this is something that also spoke to Peaches, because the way she works, of course, she is the mastermind behind her work, but also she works very collaboratively, and there's a constant conversation with other people in her, let's say, Peaches cosmos surrounding her, and it's a constant ping pong. And she usually gives a lot of space to people who maybe still need to learn a lot, or you know, are not super experienced with everything. Like, for example, her team that she had for the anniversary tour. For a lot of people, it was the first time doing such a big tour. And yeah, this is also how we approach it. Yeah, our dramaturg, for example, was also not entirely experienced with such a like big movie project. But nevertheless, we knew that we could work together very well. And we went that path, and it worked out very, very nicely.
And I also have never done a documentary about a star like her. So, yeah.
Judy, you referred to her troupe of collaborators as a cosmos, which I love, because part of the delight of this film, I felt, was that it really takes us inside that cosmos. The driving concept of the film is this anniversary tour, but there's so much more to it. And that's part of it. You know, we usually get to see what is on stage, the final product in a sense. But here we get to see what happens behind the scenes. So what was it like to enter that world? You spoke about that, some of it, but I just wanted to know, did you feel like you became part of that, you know, quote unquote cosmos, as you put it?
Yeah, in a way, I would say yes. Not only because now and then we actually had Peaches also in the editing room, and we had conversations about the film. And Also, we showed a very first, just as a side note, actually, we showed a very first rough cut that we knew that it would suck. Like, we kind of knew that we weren't where we wanted to be yet. And nevertheless, we showed it to Peaches because we really wanted to see how it feels like for her and for us also to see when other people watch the film. And that was a really nice experience to also get like a critique and then learn from that experience. And also, I think the whole thing with the archival footage, I mean, we had this massive amount of archival footage, and that not only was recording herself while being on tour or TV snippets, but it was also like all her music videos, etc. Like we got to know so many things on a different level that really enriched the film. And the movie would not have been what it is now without like these treasures. And I'm not sure this answers your question, actually, but
Certainly does. I mean, it introduces something that I wanted to ask because, right, the documentary does also offer even more insight with its wealth of what I, you know, what you find as archive material. There's so much footage documenting the journey of Peaches dating back to the days when she taught a class of kindergarten, which is maybe the most surprising footage considering the image she would carry forward in her subsequent years. But this is a simple question, but does Peaches have an expansive archive of this footage that you could rely on, or did you have to source out this material in various locations? How did that work out?
Oh, I think that this is all private archival footage, very exclusive. I think Philip can tell the story how he actually got his hands on this footage, but I only can say that it was terabytes and terabytes and hours of material. But Philip, I let you talk.
I knew that there is an archive somewhere, and but she didn't want to give it to us straight away. So I had basically earned my trust first. So, and one day when we went to her storage facility where she has everything, we were filming there a bit because I thought maybe we get some good shots of some promotion stuff. She unloaded, I don't know, 10 boxes of mini DVD tapes and VHS tapes and all other strange tapes that I don't know even how to read them into my car. And then all of a sudden it was at my place, at my office. We had to start digging and recording and digitalizing. And it took us really forever to sort out this part. But this is also what makes the movie so incredible to get. She was doing Instagram or YouTube 20 years ago, 25 years ago. But there was no Instagram at that time. She just recorded with her own little camera. And that's why we got so close in a way to her, to this young Peaches, when she shows, for example, her traveling box or her passport or behind the stage. Yeah. Or these wild shows that they have.
Loved all that because, yeah, you know, as somebody who travels a lot and I also have to carry all this equipment with me, I'm like, wow, she's really got it down to a T, you know, I could really learn something from this. But right. So, I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, I thought it was fascinating. And, you know, it's like, you know, you talked about memories as well. It's a film that really explores that, you know, the idea of memories. I can't remember exactly who says it in the documentary at this time, but reflecting on the birth, I guess, of this Peaches phenomenon, someone says in the documentary that it was a different world then. Things were different. The language was different. Do you feel that that is true?
Yeah, definitely. Like Peaches has been dealing with from the very beginning, kind of breaking the norms, gender bender, queerness, etc. And the thing is that 25 years ago, and it feels like it came very naturally to her to deal with these topics, but also 25 years ago, the language was not what it is today. So this is kind of the connector between the then and the now, but also in a way that was kind of then easy easy. That sounds easy, but it was not easy, but it was kind of easy in that sense to connect the topics and to kind of weave in the red thread, so to say. It is really a journey of memories that you can just go from the now to the then, and it connects very nicely.
Continuing in the memory trend, so another thing that I wanted to ask you about was a pivotal moment in the life of Peaches and her formation as an artist, maybe, seems to be the city of Berlin. And I'm a music fan too, you know, I'm not just a cinephile, I'm a music fan. And I know how much Berlin has influenced music, modern music. And I mean, a lot of people know about how it influenced such great artists as David Bowie, the Depeche Mode, and so many others. Heck, I'm even thinking about how Kurt Weill composed some of the most provocative music of his day in Berlin, and all the Weimar Republic stuff. I'm a nerd. So what is it about this city at that time even that you feel inspired people over the years? Because it seems to have impacted Peaches also.
When Peaches first came to Berlin, I believe it was end of the 90s, 2000s. So this was only, not a very long time after the wall fell. And there was still a lot of like free spaces, you know, you could basically do whatever you want. I mean, Philip and I, we are kind of next generation, I think we could say. It was still a bit of a flavor when I came to Berlin of this, like in 2009. But I think, yeah, around the 2000s, this was really like the city of do whatever the fuck you want to do. There was always people with open minds for everything. And you could always find collaborators who would be up for all kinds of shit. And yeah, that was ideal to just experiment and to get to know yourself as well. And figure things out for your artistic life and for yourself. And so I think it was just ideal. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think at that time it was definitely like that, wild and free and a lot of free space. But I still hope a little bit of that is still today in Berlin. As for my personal experience, it is. That's why I came to Berlin, because I felt that it's a very free city, very liberal. And it's still today. It still has this attitude.
Some of it, right? Some of it, not all of it, maybe, but some of it.
Not all of it, of course. It changes all the time, yeah.
And you talk about the Kit Kat Club. I mean, is that still around?
Yeah, that's still around, for example. It's still existing. They had their 30th anniversary. 30 years of Kit Kat was last Saturday.
Well, and, until that's around, then maybe a part of it is still like that. So getting back to the filmmaking aspect of your documentary, Teaches of Peaches. Peaches is such a vibrant artist and her music is so vibrant, you know, like so lively. This is a broad question, but I'm curious to hear your answer. What was your approach to making a documentary about her that could somehow replicate that raw power of her art?
Yeah, that was my question from the beginning. How to get this bam into the movie? I thought, let's see, let's go on tour. Let's try to find the intimate moments of her backstage. But that turned out to be very difficult because everything is very structured and it's very difficult to get close there. So I was like, okay, maybe we can edit all the shows together into, you know, it was only me and Dino on the tour, you know, and I mostly was directing and doing sound. I was a sound technician, so we were very limited. And so during the shows, I also did camera work. So we tried to get the best moments from the shows out. And the plan was to switch between those layers, between the different moments in not only on the tour and the different shows, then also in the archive that I was hoping to get at a certain point. And that her voice and her music, that is still the same and than it was now and 25 years ago. And to find a way how to put in the different topics, what she stands for, and find that other voices who speak for her. For example, Black Cracker does that very well, or Shirley Manson, or Gonzo. And to kind of, through other interviews, to get to know what she actually means to the community, to the family, to the queer friends.
Well, I have a question about just, you know, spending time in the Peaches universe. What do you feel was the most surprising experience of working on this documentary? What was like the most surprising aspect of Peaches and her world that, you know, you encountered while you were working on this that kind of took you aback a little bit?
I was super thrilled that really, I can sign on everything Peaches says and does. And this is amazing. I mean, we're all humans. We make mistakes, or we say stupid things once in a while, or make silly jokes, or be disrespectful. This is just, that's how I feel myself. But with Peaches, no. She was always very kind, very precise, and very controlled. And she knew she has this. Everyone is looking at her and listening to her. Whatever she says, even every little thing she does, everyone is watching on her. And she's really on point and very sharp and very thoughtful about a lot of things that I don't even have an idea of.
Yeah, I would double that. And also, I was so pleasantly surprised that every time one of the first things that Peaches would always ask is, how are you today? And always would remember the things that you talked about, you know, in another meeting. And I don't know, for me, that was actually more on that level, you know, I was becoming a huge fan of the offstage persona.
That's great. You know, they say never meet your heroes, because they might disappoint you, but it doesn't sound like this was the case then. So that's lovely to hear.
No, that's really true. Yeah, that's really true.
Yeah. Right, guys. You know, it's been great chatting with you about this film, but I just want to know, now that, you know, the film was screened at the prestigious Berlinale, what's next for this documentary? I mean, where are people going to be able to see it? And will it be hitting the road anymore? Maybe screening at different festivals here and there?
Yeah, I think the next one is in Copenhagen next weekend. That is, I think, the international premiere. Then there is the American premiere. Do we allow to say that, Judy?
I have no idea.
At the Hot Dogs in Toronto. Yeah. Just say it. And then it goes, of course, it comes into the cinemas on end of May or something like that.
I think May, yeah.
Yeah, May. For everyone to watch.
In Germany.
Germany, yeah.
Well, that sounds great. So guys, thank you very much for joining me and talking about Teachers of Peaches. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Well, I hope you enjoyed my conversation about Teachers of Peaches, another great film presented at this year's Panorama Documente section at the Berlinale, continuing our steady output of candid conversations with exceptional guests from film festivals and film markets. We'll be releasing more with regularity throughout the year, so make sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts from. Till the next time, from the Film Verdict, this is Matt McCucci signing off. See you soon.